what they're supporting. A lot of the donors who work through Anabaptist Foundation are Old Order people. They're Joe Wangers, or they're Old Order Mennonites of one variety or another, Old Order Amish. And they don't have the ready access to the internet that you enjoy, nor do they have necessarily as broad a knowledge about the variety of mission organizations that exist. So when an Old Order Amish donor wishes to, say, for instance, send Bibles to China, as many do, they don't readily know how to accomplish that. And part of our work is to help them find out what their options are. I was doing part of that work today. I had never been to the clinic, the We Care clinic, up in Kentucky, although we have a number of donors that support that clinic. So I went up there this morning, and I learned a little more about what they do. About 3 months ago, I went to another place to learn what that organization did. It made a big impact on me. Came home and gave it some thought, and I preached a sermon that I had never heard preached before in our churches, and I'm going to share that this evening. I think the topic of abortion is a difficult topic. It's not something that we readily discuss. And in a church setting, of course, you discuss it in an age-appropriate way. But I think it's very important that we know what we believe on the topic of abortion. About 3 months ago, I made an appointment to visit an organization named Align Life. Align as in you're lining things up, A-L-I-G-N, Life. That organization operates four clinics in Lancaster and Lebanon counties. The headquarters up in Myerstown in Lebanon County. But they have four locations, and they are essentially what we call a pro-life clinic. You know that there are abortion-minded clinics operated by Planned Parenthood, and working in opposition to those are some pro-life clinics. It's not a conservative Anabaptist organization. It receives a fair amount of Amish and Mennonite support, but there are no Amish or Mennonite board members, no Amish or Mennonites work there. It's a general Christian organization. And we had been sending an increasingly, a growing amount of funds there, so I put it on my list. Called a lady by the name of Lisa Hosler. She was the executive director. Made an appointment, met with her toward one of the clinics. Had the opportunity to ask a lot of questions. One of the things she told me is that the abortion industry has changed significantly in the last several years. It is a result of political activism on the part of, maybe you might say, your evangelical cousins in the Baptist churches and also Republicans. But she says it has not changed for the better. She said the changes they have instituted have actually made things worse than they were before and have entirely backfired. The political activism did not work. She says that back in the day when she first became involved at Align Life, most abortions were surgical abortions. It was an invasive procedure. A person had to make difficult arrangements to line up an appointment for an abortion. It carried significant cost, and there was a lot of stigma attached to it. She said it's entirely changed. It's not that way anymore. A full 50% of abortions that are performed today, 2024, are what are called medicated abortions. You do not have to go see a doctor. You do not have to make an appointment for a surgery to have the baby removed. It is exceedingly easy today to obtain abortions. Today, abortion is readily available, it's inexpensive, and it's highly confidential. 50% of the abortions performed today are medicated abortions, not surgical abortions. She says this is like a sea change, this is a landscape change, and the conservative Republican politicians, the Baptist people that pushed for changes in abortion laws over the last several years, who litigated all the way up to the Supreme Court, They didn't realize what they did, how much worse they made the situation by their activity. What is the medicated abortion? It's a two-pill protocol. It's done by telehealth today. A lady or a girl that's seeking an abortion does not have to go see a doctor ever. She can find information readily available online. She can be provided with a telehealth consultation. She'll need to talk with someone over the phone for 10 or 15 minutes. And then they will provide her a prescription that she can fill at any big box retailer for a two-pill process. So she'll get two little pill caplets. She takes one pill caplet, which stops the estrogen flow to the developing child. And within 3 days, the child dies within the mother's womb. And then she takes the second pill, and it induces contractions and expels the baby. She does not have to go anywhere. She can do this in the privacy of her home. She doesn't have to tell anyone what she's doing. She needs no assistance with this. And what it produces is an increase in abortion. The Republicans have fought hard to decrease abortion, and all of their activity has ended up increasing abortion. Entirely the opposite of what they expected. In Virginia, I did the research, and to obtain the necessary pills for an abortion costs about $500, and there is financial support available if you don't have the $500 to pay it out of your own pocket. There is one catch with medicated abortions, and that catch is that that two-pill process may only be used up to the 10th week of pregnancy. What the pills contain is not good for a woman, and past 12 weeks of pregnancy, the woman's hormones are such that the pills would be harmful to the woman herself past 10 weeks. So there's a cutoff there, and it's a pretty hard cutoff, that if a woman wants to do a medicated abortion, a girl wishes to, she must do it, that baby cannot be older than 10 weeks. That necessitates something. If a girl or a woman is contemplating an abortion, she has to know how old that baby is. It matters whether it's 9 weeks old, 10 weeks old, or 11 weeks old. If it is more than 10 weeks old, she cannot use the medicated abortion procedure and has to do a surgical abortion instead, which is still harder to obtain and more difficult on the mother's body. Lisa Hosler told me, I asked her about their advertising strategy. How do you get the word out about the services that you provide in Lancaster and Lebanon County? She said they do some billboard advertising, and I have seen some of their billboards. But she says anymore people don't really look at billboards when they're driving down the road because they are busy looking at their phones. So that is a decreasing, that's a decreasing tool in the advertising world to have billboards. She said actually they spend most of their money, their advertising dollars, on online advertising. And she proceeded to give me an education on that, a lot of things that I did not understand. What does Align Life offer? They offer three things to ladies, so they're advertising three types of services. They offer ultrasounds. So a lady who is pregnant can go to Align Life and she can receive a free ultrasound. That's very much in demand because if a person doesn't have medical coverage, then that's going to cost them money out of pocket. Most young girls don't know how to line up an ultrasound, so they would have to tell their mother, and they don't want to tell their mother. They would have to tell somebody, and they don't wish to tell anyone what's going on with them. So a free ultrasound. So a young woman can Google, where can I get a free ultrasound in Lancaster County? And then it would be their intention that Align Life pops up as a place where they can go get a free ultrasound. They offer counseling and classes. So they will offer the free ultrasound, but then right with it, they're going to say, we'd like to sit down with you and talk for a half hour. And of course, you know what they're trying to do. They're trying to talk the lady into keeping her baby instead of aborting her baby. They offer classes. If you want to keep your baby, maybe you're young, maybe you're scared, we have all these classes available, free. And you can come here and someone will teach you about pregnancy and teach you about being a mother, teach you how to take care of a baby. And then the third thing they offer is resources. Like for instance, they have a little room in every clinic called their baby boutique. And if a young lady agrees to take counseling with them or classes, every time she comes to class, she gets baby dollars that she can go across the hallway and she can buy baby items, baby formula, diapers, good clothes, donated blankets from Amish and Mennonite sewing circles, pack and plays. You know, we will help you. All you got to do is show up for class. And if the husband of the girl or the boyfriend will come to class, she gets double the baby dollars and is able to buy more things for her baby. That's what they do. Lisa Hosler educated me a little bit about Google. I was really ignorant, and I asked questions, and she accepted my ignorant questions and answered them. Do you understand that Google is not a level playing field? Like, you just can't find anything you want when you Google it. The results are actually filtered and controlled, and they're controlled by who pays. Yes, you can put anything on the internet. You can have a website. You can try to put your services out there. But did you know that over 80% of people will never look past the first page of Google results? Never. They never scroll past the first page. If they Google something and are looking for an answer, the only answers they even read are the first page of results. So if you have a message that's very important to get out to people who are using certain search terms, you need to be on the first page. Do you understand it's exceedingly expensive to be on the first page of results? You have to pay to be on the first page of results. There are three ways you can show up on that first page of results. One of the ways is you can pay for placement. If you pay enough money, your website will come up as the first, second, or third option. And you'll notice that when you Google something, the first about three options, I forget what is the word that's there. There's a little word beside it. Somebody paid for their website to come up first. So you're seeing information from the people who have the most money to push themselves in front of you. That is, in the abortion world, that is not the pro-life clinics. That is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood buys all of the top spots on every Google search related to abortion. You can also pay for something called search engine optimization, which was way over my head. You can pay for clicks. Like, there are people like headhunters. You want how many clicks on your website? 100? This is what it will cost you. Pay me $500 and I will guarantee you will get 100 extra clicks by manipulating the way your website appears, manipulating the search terms. But you pay for all of that. And who has the most money to advertise with Google when a person is searching for abortion-related terms? It is not the pro-life clinics. It is Planned Parenthood. And she gave me a, for instance, she said, sometimes just go ahead and Google something like, what does the Bible say about abortion? Okay, well, I did that night. I Googled, what does the Bible say about abortion? Here's the answer that Google provided. It can be said with absolute certainty that ancient scripture does not consider a fetus to even be alive because it has not yet drawn breath. That's the answer Google gives to what does the Bible say about abortion. Why does Google provide that answer on that day? Because somebody paid a lot of money for that to be the answer that you were allowed to read. That's the type of environment that they work in those clinics. She said that does change on a daily basis. She said it's like a constant battle. They have an advertising budget at Align Life. They have people they pay to do their search engine optimization to push their results as high as possible. She said it happened one time that they really scored big, that for a month, 80% of the time, a woman in Lancaster or Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, typed in a word related to abortion or pregnancy. One time, for 1 month, Align Life came up on the first page for 80% of those ladies. The next month, it dropped to 5% of the time, because somebody dumped a lot of money into Lancaster and Lebanon County to drive down the search results for Align Life. The enemy pays attention. They're not going to allow you to get much market space on Google in this type of an area. Align Life sees between 1,200 and 1,300 girls and ladies a year. So 1,200 and some girls or ladies come to one of their four clinics every year. Lisa Hosler told me that these ladies, when they come in, of course, they have to do a little intake with a counselor, and they say, we sort them into three baskets, and we're almost never wrong, but one type of lady that shows up at Align Life is an abortion-minded lady. She is going to get an abortion, but she needs to know if that baby is 9 weeks old, 10 weeks old, or 11 weeks old. So she wants the free ultrasound, and then we'll never see her again. She'll sit through the mandatory 15, 20-minute little counseling session. She'll get her ultrasound, be handed her results. She'll leave and never come back. We know exactly what she did. She went ahead and used the telehealth option. She got the prescription sent to her. She filled it at CVS, and she aborted the baby via medical means. The second type of lady that they see at Align Life is a lady who actually wishes to keep her baby, but she's in a difficult position. She's kind of both excited and scared. She said these tend to be the young ones. She's 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. She's not married. She's poor. Doesn't have a great family background. Maybe on a high percentage of those cases, doesn't live in a two-parent household. Her life's in turmoil. She's kind of excited that she might have a baby, but she's also pretty scared about it. She's on the fence. The third type of lady they see there is just a girl or a young lady who is absolutely scared out of her wits. She's found out that she's pregnant, or she thinks she's pregnant, and she's got to do something, and she doesn't have any idea what to do. She is just blindly reaching for options. She went in her bedroom, shut the door, and without her mother knowing or anyone knowing, she Googled, how do I know if I'm pregnant? What do I do if I'm pregnant? What does an abortion cost? Where can I get an abortion near New Holland, Pennsylvania? Those types of things. An interesting thing is that 40% of women who get an abortion attend church once a month or more often. 40% of women who get an abortion attend church once a month or more often than once a month. That kind of struck me. And then after Lisa said that, she said this. She said, and I wrote it down, as a leader in the Amish and Mennonite circles, you are probably well aware of the abortion issue in Amish and conservative Mennonite churches. And I said, well, no, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have abortions in our churches. That's not something we do. So she got up and she went next door to the clinic director, a lady by the name of Debbie. She asked Debbie to come over. And she said, ask Debbie about it. So she repeated her statement that he doesn't realize that they have an abortion problem in Amish and Mennonite circles. Debbie Davenport, the clinic director, she said, well, 10 to 12% of the girls we see every year are Amish or conservative Mennonites. 10 to 12%. Now, you do the math in your head. They're in Lancaster, Lebanon County, four locations. They see 1,200 girls a year. They say 10 to 12% are Amish or conservative Mennonite. How many Amish or conservative Mennonite girls do they see a year? About 120. I found that a little hard to believe, so I pushed and asked some questions. I did feel a little bit better, and I didn't feel a little bit better about it. When they have a girl come in, they ask her to self-identify her religion. 10 to 12% of the girls that they see at Align Life are self-identifying. They're telling the counselor, I'm Amish or I'm conservative Mennonite. She said they almost never look it because they've come in blue jeans and a t-shirt. Like, they're not going to walk into one of those places with a covering on because someone might see them. So they'll come dressed different. And this is the part that made me feel a little bit better. Debbie said these are actually exes. It's an ex-Amish girl, or it's an ex-Mennonite girl. She just left. Her parents are still Amish or Mennonite, or maybe the whole family left, but it was just recently. They are not church members. They're not in an Amish or Mennonite church now. She said, we put them in a certain basket because these are the ones that they come in and they want that ultrasound. They would need to know if the baby's 9, 10, or 11 weeks old, and we never see them again. They never come back. They never come for a class. They never come for a counseling session. They never come for resources. We're making an assumption they went ahead and had a medicated abortion. They don't actually know that they had a medicated abortion. They might have kept the baby, might have married the father, but it's concerning. Internally, abortion is not something that we talk about. I don't know. I didn't look at like your preaching schedule here from the last year, but I doubt you had a sermon on abortion because we don't talk about that a great deal. But you know, we do live in communities that are awash in abortion. If you've lived in this community for any length of time, you know a woman or a young lady who has had an abortion. You just don't know that she has had an abortion. They are the people that come into your stores. They're your neighbor's girl. It's a world in which we live. And we ought to know what we believe about this. What information does the abortion industry push online to girls who have locked themselves in their bedroom and are on their phone? This is the type of information that does get found with Google results. A fetus is not a baby. It's just a lump of cells and blood. It's not a person, and it's not alive on its own. It's just a part of your body. And because it's not a baby, and because it's part of your body, you have a choice about what you want to do with it. It is your choice. If you keep a baby, it's expensive. It ruins your life, like all your career opportunities, your education opportunities are gone, and there's going to be a lot of stigma. Medicaid abortion is easy. It's inexpensive. Someone will help you pay for it, and it's confidential. No one will ever even know that you had been pregnant. That is the information that is pushed to scared girls in the privacy of their bedrooms. No one will ever know. Okay, I need the usher. Come on up. Got a little object lesson for you tonight. I got these through Lisa at the clinic. Maybe if you could help him there. There's a basket for each side, and you need to take one of these little babies, and you need to take one of the cards. At the end, I will collect and reuse the ones from the fellas. There'll be a basket in the back, and you can just put them there. If you're a girl or a lady, you can keep the one that you take for object lesson tonight, because you might need to talk to someone about abortion someday, and you need to be able to show them what they're doing. So you can go ahead and unwrap the little baby. These are anatomically correct models of a 12-week-old baby. They are correct for length. That is how old. Go ahead and unwrap it. That is how long a 12-week-old baby is. If there would be a lady here and she would happen to be pregnant and she knows she's about 12 weeks, that's how long your baby is. It's correct for weight. That's how much your baby weighs if it's 12 weeks old. It's also correct for the development features. You can look here and you can see the fingers. You can see all of the facial features. That's what you can see on a 12-week-old baby. You know, to me, in the end, it's not a relief to know that those 120 girls and young ladies who go to an Align Life clinic and self-identify as Amish or conservative Mennonite, and specifically they say conservative Mennonite, not Mennonite, it's not a relief to know that they're exes. They're girls that left. Because you know what? They grew up in our churches. And while they were here, they were not taught enough that they don't end up there. That is kind of sad. If even 10% of those 120 end up getting an abortion, let's just say it all turns out real well and 90% of them actually keep those babies, 12 a year out of Lancaster and Lebanon County is pretty sad that they grew up in our churches and didn't know enough not to do what they did. It's said that when the truth is not plainly told, lies become believable. At week one, a baby is the size of a grain of sugar. By week two, the baby has attached to its mother's womb. By week three, it has blood vessels, a brain, a spinal cord, and a nervous system forming. At week four, a heart begins to beat. The eyes, ears, and lungs begin to form. By week five, the arms, legs, and face form, separate blood system from its mother. By week six, the fingers and toes are forming. The brain sections for emotions, hearing, and seeing are developing. By week seven, little buds appear where the teeth are going to be. 99% of the muscles have formed by week seven. Brain activity begins. By week eight, it's the size of an average person's thumb. It has spontaneous movement. The skull, the elbows, and the knees are forming. By week nine, the muscles start moving on their own. If prodded, the baby will clench its hands into a fist. So get that. That's by week nine. 9 weeks in, The mother presses her belly against the kitchen counter. That baby is grasping its hand like a fist. By week 10, fingerprints are developing. The eyelids form, although they're shut, and they're sealed shut to keep amniotic fluid from getting in to the developing eyes. By week 11, the lungs start to move. They're not breathing, but they start working, pumping, so that they can grow and become strong. Urination and contraction of stomach muscles begin. By week 12, this is what's there. In the average woman, it weighs 2 ounces, and it's 3 inches long. On its head, it has very fine hair. And if it's touched, it responds. If it's poked, it tries to get away. By that size there, most of them are aborted. Because now most of them are aborted at week 10. 2 weeks before what you hold in your hand. This is a reason why there are fewer babies available for adoption in foster care. Just in the last couple years, that supply of babies, the ones that the mother didn't get around to getting a surgical abortion in time, and that baby had to be carried to term, and it was born and put up for adoption, those babies aren't there anymore in increasing numbers because they were medically aborted back when they were 10 weeks old. So there are literally fewer babies available for adoption because they didn't live past 10 weeks due to medicated abortion. Lisa at Align Life said that they had a rule of thumb for many years that a woman would have an abortion and then she would call them 5 years later. That's when she would finally contact a pro-life clinic because she needs counseling. It took 5 years to get to her. And she says the reason that is, they think, or was, is because by the time 5 years went past, that woman did have other children. So now she is a mother, and she's got little children running around, and she's enjoying them, and she can't forget that 5 years ago there would have been another one. But I killed the other one. And then in that sense of guilt, she wants to talk to somebody. So they had kind of, 5 years, a certain number of those ladies that came for the ultrasound or that came and, or that got pregnant, we'll hear from them again, but it'll be 5 years. She said that has also changed because now with medicated abortion, they hear from them about 3 hours later. When they pass that baby, the telecounselor tells them, you'll have cramps and go to the bathroom, sit in the toilet, and when you pass something, flush it and don't look. It's just a mass of cells and it's ugly and gross and just flush it. But she said, you know what most of them do? They look. And when they look, they see that it was a baby. And 3 hours later, they're calling someone for counseling. Too bad they didn't call 3 hours before they took the pills. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 1. Okay, so that's the world we live in. That's how things are in the United States today. That's the culture in which you float. Ladies you pass at Walmart, girls that work with you, if you hire girls from the community, the people who come into your store or your business or your bakery, they're awash in an abortion culture. What help can you be to them? Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. This is what God said to Jeremiah when he called him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." When the baby is this big, God knows who that baby is. And he actually has a plan for that baby. That's something you can tell a woman who's pregnant and isn't sure if she's going to keep it. Well, you don't even know who your baby is. But God knows who your baby is. Look right here, Jeremiah 1:5. He said, I know that baby. And I actually have plans for that baby. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. If you know a young lady who's pregnant, or a married lady that thinks children are a bother, or she already has enough, here's a scripture passage you can share with her. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Hair, a nose and eyes, mouth, fingers and toes. The lungs are moving even though they're not breathing air. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Let's look at three truths tonight. Truth number one, these are truths that we need to understand ourselves, our young people and our children need to understand. And then these are truths that we need to share with the people that we rub shoulders with in the community. Truth number one, fornication and adultery are sin, and sins do have consequences. Hebrews chapter 13 says it this way, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're told to flee fornication, flee sin outside, flee having relations between a man and a woman outside of marriage. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Do you know that sin is a path? It's a road that you walk. If you don't commit fornication, you're not going to face pregnancy before marriage. It doesn't happen. You have to commit fornication to become pregnant before marriage. You know what else is true? If you practice hands-off courtship, you're not going to mess around with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're not going to commit fornication. You know what else is true? If you keep your mind pure, you'll have fewer temptations. Matthew chapter 5 says it this way, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Where's the path start? that bad path of sin. It starts in the mind, and then it moves to the eyes, and then it goes to the hands and the body, and then it ends up with very sad consequences that are admittedly difficult to deal with. But you don't have to go down the path. And if you're on the path, you can get off the path. And it starts in the mind, moves to the eyes, moves to the body. So that's the first truth, that we do need to have solid ourselves in our families and churches. Fornication and adultery are sin, and sin does have consequences. That's the way it is. And that's also a message that we shouldn't be shy about sharing in the community. So maybe you ladies, maybe you work with a young girl. And she, maybe she's not a Christian. Maybe she professes to be a Christian. Well, that's not safe, because remember, 40% of the women who get abortions go to church once a month. So you need to be talking to her. Like, if she's in a relationship, talk about purity. Talk about what God's expectations are. Talk about the fact that fornication and adultery are sin, and sin have consequences. Because they're maybe not hearing it from anybody else. Maybe you would be the only person that would tell them something like that. And maybe if your character and your friendship is what it ought to be, if you would say a little bit of something to them, maybe that night when they're laying in bed, they'd actually be thinking about what you said. Because they do kind of look up to you. And they kind of, like, I couldn't be like her, but I kind of respect her. Or that lady, that Mennonite lady, has always been so nice to me and so kind. And what did she say? I think you ladies are in a unique position to share with ladies in the community. Number two, sin can be forgiven. Yeah, it's sin. There was sin. But you know that sin can be forgiven if it's confessed and repented of. You can actually change. Matthew chapter 12 says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. All different kinds of sin can actually be forgiven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of ye. That's how you were. That's how people are that you come across in society. They fit on that list. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And of course, you can probably quote to that person 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first truth you need to lay out there in your own family and in your own church, in your community here, is that there is such a thing as sin, and it involves this area of life too. There's sin here, and this sin has consequences. Number two, sin can be forgiven. God's the type of God that we have. Even on that terrible list of sins that's mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, such were some of you. That's what you used to be. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're clean. And that's the hope that you can hold out to people. What you are is not what you have to end up being. You can become something different through Jesus Christ. The third truth. To be blunt about it, abortion is the murder of an unborn child. And if there was a first sin, why would you commit the second, worst sin? Maybe there was a relationship that shouldn't have been there. Maybe there was immoral behavior. If you ever find yourself there, well, you sinned. That's what it was. It was sin. It was wrong. It's going to be punished. You need to repent. But if you repent, you'll be forgiven, and you don't have to keep on sinning. You can be different. In Exodus chapter 21, I want you to turn to this passage, Exodus 21. This passage is about the sanctity of life. Exodus 21 and go down to verse 22. Book of Exodus, the law lays out all sorts of scenarios so that they knew how to discern right from wrong. And Moses delivered from God a scenario. If two men strive and hurt a woman with child, there's a fight going on, and two men are going at it, and somehow a woman gets in between and she gets hurt. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, she has her baby. She goes into labor and delivers her baby. So there's the situation God's painting. There's a fight going on. Sin, no doubt, accompanying it, ungodliness. There's a fight. A pregnant woman intervenes. She gets shoved aside or she gets punched and she goes into labor and she delivers a baby. Well, what now? God says this is exactly how it's going to be. This is what's now. So that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow. The baby wasn't hurt and the baby didn't die. He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. Still going to be a punishment for that. Because took a big chance there. Something could have happened to that baby. Yeah, the baby was born early. The baby was okay. Still going to get a punishment. Probably going to have to pay money or something. Because you put her in danger and you put that baby in danger. But, it says, and if any mischief follow, if anything's wrong with that baby, what's going to happen then? Then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If that baby's hurt, you're going to get hurt. If that baby dies, they're going to kill you. Why would they have a law like that? Because that unborn child is a person in the eyes of God. It's not a fetus, it's a baby. It's a human. It's alive. It's a person in God's sight. And if you hurt one of those little ones, can you think about the verse that relates to that? If you hurt one of those little ones, it'd be better for you to tie a big rock around your neck and throw you in the ocean because you're going to get it. God cares about children. This is an area that we don't talk about a lot. Lisa Hosler thinks we need to talk more about it because she's not seeing girls that are in our churches, but she sees girls that just left our churches. And they're showing up there, and they're pregnant and not married. There's actually some sort of connection between leaving and immorality. Don't know what it is. There's some sort of connection there. And are we teaching within our families and within our churches, and do we have a strong enough witness in the community that we know that fornication and adultery are sin? And sin have consequences. But there is forgiveness available. And God knows that child even when it's this big. And he has a plan for it. Call for a song and then you can consider yourselves dismissed, I believe. one announcement. The fellas, I'll put the baskets in the back. I want yours back. You don't need those, and I can use them if I use the sermon again. But the ladies and the girls, you can keep those little babies. So that if you ever come across a lady who's pregnant and you're not sure about what decision she's going to make, you go ahead and give it to her or show it to her and talk to her about it.